You did say that that's what you just discussed with Mr. Jennings was that someone building here in lieu of, not after the fact that that may have.
Correct.
Not after. So it would have to be one or the other.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. Yes. Are there any other questions? Or entertain a motion at this time?
There's not
going to
be a second.
Very well. Then we'll move to the next item of business. Section 8.3. I'm sorry. Yes, 8.3. Consideration action to adopt resolution number 2013-121. Bigger Waters Flood Insurance Act of 2012. We've had a lot of concern of the passage of the Biggert Waters Act and how it's going to affect our community. And with the passage of that legislation, a number of our surrounding communities have passed resolution to express to our legislature how detrimental this legislation is to our community and their communities as well. What I've done is I've asked David to put together a resolution that joins our voice into our neighbors' voices to help promote our cause of hoping that some sort of change can be made to that legislation to prevent the detrimental effect to our community. And I'm hoping that the council has had opportunity to review the resolution, and I am open to questions at this time, and then if there are none appearing, then we'll open it up to citizens' comments as well. But the intent of the resolution is to join our voices with our other coastal communities and expressing our desire to have change made that is not detrimental to our community. If there are no questions, we'll come to citizens' comments. Yes, sir.
Kendall Fager, 62 Segra. In your resolution, section 3, you mentioned retention of grandfathering for structures that have not flooded. That would eliminate almost all the structures in your acres. Because most of the structures in your acres have flooded.
Section 3?
Yeah, that makes the last item on section 3.
Gotcha. On the back of the page.
17% of our homes did not flood tonight.
So, about
83%? 83% flooded, yes. We had 83% of the homes.
So, they wouldn't grandfather 83% of the homes, according to this language.
I think it's the other way around that we want to keep the grandfather for those that did not flood. Just that the 17% that did not flood.
My reading was that it said retention of grandfathering for structures that have not flooded.
Correct.
So structures that have not
flooded. 17% that did not flood.
So grandfather is 17%.
Yeah.
So 83% of us wouldn't get grandfathered.
That's correct.
Why do we have that in the resolution? Why not back out whether they can flood or not?
Because in our discussions with our congressional leaders, and we've sat down with our congressmen and discussed where they're going with this, they're trying to make the flood insurance program self-sufficient. And so they have flooded properties that they are paying out in excess of what they're collecting. The actuarial is wrong. And there isn't any sense that they will have any success in getting push back on the rates for buildings that we all know flood.
They're not going to be grandfathered, right?
You
you're not talking about the homes that flood repeatedly. You're talking about homes that only flooded once in 50 years, and they're not grandfathered just because of...
Well, understand our starting point. The starting point is with the Biggers Waters Act, nothing's grandfathered, and nothing gets a subsidy. And the purpose of this is working with the, this is the Bay Area Economic Group, which is more of the Clear Lake area, is spearheaded this and worked with the congressional leaders and with the cities and are looking at what they think is achievable to pull it back. And some of it is to spread the amount of time that it's applied from 5 years to a greater period, so that there's not a substantial increase every year that's untenable. and so they've just identified things to chip away. The resolution here is a compiling and selection of those that apply to the city of Shore Acres. And I didn't know this is my original work, with the exception of the paragraph that describes Shore Acres, the very first whereas. The rest of that is modified from League City, LaPorte, and Webster's resolutions, which have already gone to the congressional delegation. There are now about 25 or 30 resolutions that have been passed, and they all are almost identical.
So no, it doesn't help me either. but
I mean, why not ask for more? I mean, we're not, all you're doing is telling what our opinion of this act is,
that is
and
true.
How it affects us. What also affects the people that work with us.
True enough.
So my opinion is just take out the word about what and keep grandpa.
Thank you very much for that. Are there any other comments or questions concerning the resolution?
I have just a general question. Once you pass the resolution, the council, does it actually go to the copy of the resolution?
The distribution list is directed to state and other legislatures and such. However, the resolution itself is available in the minutes and such for the meeting. So it's available, but we don't mail it out to all the cities. Does that answer your question? Are there any other questions concerning the resolution? Very well. At this time, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 2013-121.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Great. Motion has been properly moved and seconded. Is there all those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed? You have the option to express your dissent.
I would just like to see a couple of things changed in the wording of it. That's what we're trying to do. Is
and if I'm not mistaken, this is requires a simple majority of council members present. With that being said, two ayes and one nay, the motion carries. Item 8.4, consideration and action to adopt resolution number 2013-122, designated representative and alternate to the Houston Galveston Area Council 2013 General Assembly. These positions are now vacant, and we certainly would like to have representation at the General Assembly. The Houston-Galveston Area Council was attended by previously Connie Ramirez, Alderwoman Ramirez, and also the backup was Richard Adams. This does require it to be a council member. It cannot be a member of the public. So with that being said, are there any volunteers to serve on that council?
What's the time in there, the meeting time?
Now, David has the required meeting times, I believe.
For the purposes of the General Assembly, there is one meeting. It's annually held in January. The date has not been selected for the 2014 meeting. It is on a weekday, the daytime meeting, and that is the only required meeting that will take place. There are other opportunities where our representative can attend HGAC functions and meetings that are both weekends and weekdays and after hours, but the only required one is for the General Assembly, which is the voting body in which you will vote for initiatives and officers.
So I'd like to give council the opportunity to represent.
I'd like to see maybe we can put this off to the next meeting. I know myself, I could not do it. I'm hearing Bo. I'd like to give the other two council members an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I have no issue with that. So if we're with no action appearing, we'll move. Well, I do apologize. Are there any comments from citizens on this particular issue? If not appearing, we'll move to the next item. 8.5, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2013-141, Menu Rules of Order and Procedure for Council Meetings. It's come to my attention, let me preface that by saying it was advised of me back in June by Alderwoman Snell that I take some notes from some of our surrounding communities to try to improve our opportunities here for running smoother, better council meetings and such, or to at least take those opportunities to better improve our performance, or specifically my performance. And in light of that, we had two council members go to CML training for new council members, and Councilman Moses was kind enough to put a bug in my ear about an opportunity to improve our operations here. He had expressed that it is not unusual to have sign-up for agenda items as well as citizens' comments to help run the meeting in a more effective, efficient manner. And with that being said, I took the opportunity to capitalize on their suggestions and have put together ordinance as you see here to encourage the signing up for speaking on the number of topics rather than pointing around the room as is my usual method of obtaining the names or at least encouraging folks to speak, to put it in more of a logical and reasonable format so as to be able to address folks in a more efficient manner. That being said, I do want to take a bit of time to speak to council and say that as the amendment is written, I have no problem substituting a particular word that appears in the change, and it's under Section 7 for public comments, where it reads, each person desiring to address council shall complete a speaker registration form provided by the city clerk. The form shall be provided to the city clerk prior to speaking. And rather than putting the very definitive language in, I'm not opposed to putting shall in, which would not make it a requirement because we don't want to prohibit communication with the definitive language. And where I can think where that would be an issue is if somebody were to come in late, you know, our shift workers, taking into consideration some of our folks who we all at 8 o'clock and want to come to the council meeting and want to speak, then would not be limited by that verbiage. So I am open to suggestion there and am willing to hear a comment from council this time.
So you're willing to add different verbiage when it was taken out? And where the form is going to come from?
It'll be a city provided form.
Okay, so
if you
want to do it, you're going to have a pick them up before the meeting?
Yes, it'll be a sign-up roster probably here on the podium. What I would like to see, and this is my vision, a citizen's comment, and then another form for the specific agenda items themselves. That will allow for me to put people in the order that they signed up, and then also to roll through that process much quicker. But once again, I don't want it to be prohibited to where folks would not want to speak or could not speak for showing up late for not signing. But it's a simple measure to help promote a more efficient.
I think the focus is right on and similar, but I sort of have a little bit different idea, but give the citizens an idea of what happened. We talked to the TML, supposed to be many, many people all over the state, and cities our size, if not bigger. I will tell you, probably 8 out of every 10 mayors and mayor pro tems spoke to, what they do is they post, basically, you know what's on the agenda, it's posted 72 hours ahead of time. And the problem is, I don't mind staying here late. Some people don't like staying at 10 o'clock, 11, whatever. I think our charter goes to 10 o'clock. But we lose a lot of interest if people start walking out this door. So it was my curiosity to say, well, what do you do about this? And Councilman Snell and I both got the same response from people we spoke to. They put a roster out 15 minutes before the council. You have the agenda posted. You look and see what you want to discuss. You put your name on the roster so that way you don't miss. I understand the mayor's point of view, basically if someone comes in late, if the roster's out 15 minutes beforehand, and you don't want to discourage anybody being in talk, but it does help efficiently move a meeting much faster versus someone asking a question. We'll talk to 3 or 4, they'll ask the same question but in a different format. Then it's taking your time up and you're losing interest. The whole idea is to get your peak information. And I've seen it sitting here numerous times, people after a while get tired and walk out the door. I would like to be able to see and get everybody's involvement, but not ask the question. Same question, but just to people. That was the purpose. But this isn't just something that I just thought out of the blue. This came from numerous, numerous other cities. So it's just an idea we have out there. Just to give you some general information.
The city of Richmond just came about with that, and what they do is, I mean, once the agenda is posted, you can come by City Hall if you're the only city, so you can call and get your name on. So it's not like you've got to do it lickety-split. I mean, we all kind of know what's going on before we get here, and most of y'all do, otherwise you wouldn't be here. So it's just a way to make things more fluid. And it, like I said, City of Richmond uses it. Dallas uses it all the way down to these some little podunk towns that I've never even heard of that I think are even smaller than us use it. And it seems to work to expedite. And it also encourages the citizens to really be a little bit more invested and think about that way. If you don't know what you're going to say, why would you think about it? So it kind of works both ways. Everybody, and if we don't like it, if we try this out and we don't like it, we can always review it. But I think it's worth a shot because people are, they either got to really have to start reading what they read this. You have a clause for posting.
If I were to change the verbiage, it would change from shall to shall into locations here, down here. And then from would be changed to form.
Figure that out.
Are there any other questions from council at this time?
No.
limit period? Yes, ma'am.
Dana Woodruff, 3534 Miramar. Seems like unnecessary bureaucracy to me. At most, there's 20 people, and on average, it's 10 to 15 people. But what it does is, for most of us who do actually speak on multiple items, I mean, to get a form and just xerox it eight times, within eight times, or I might not think I have a comment until somebody says something, and it's like, well, gosh, I wonder what that would mean for this. And so that kills the spontaneity. You want a shorter agenda? Don't put so many items down. But the problem with expedient means that somebody didn't get to talk. We're just too small. I think it's too much bureaucracy.
Thank you.
Correction.
Sir?
This is the only set thing I've actually seen in the next day.
Oh, we've had many minutes.
Yes, sir.
Kendall Pickett, 322 State Road.
I agree with Diana. I can see this might be a problem with a big city with a lot of people coming to the meeting, but again, most of the time we don't have a lot of people. We're a small city, and a lot of my questions come up by listening to your presentation and your comments and other people of the citizens' comments. And so I may come in here not wanting to talk on anything, but then I'll have questions or I'll have comments based on what I hear. So does that eliminate me from bringing them up?
Not by changing the verbiage to shall, or should I apologize. You know, we're not looking to suppress spontaneity, which is one of the components of as you said, addressing council and making sure that the citizens are being heard. We're trying to put in organization into the process of speaking, whether it be unnecessary or necessary. We're looking for a tool to improve our performance here.
So if you didn't sign up and you came, and later during the meeting you had a question on something, you could...
Yes, and here's what I envision. Should I have, let's say, a very popular agenda item, and we have a number of folks who wish to speak, standing room only, crowded, what have you, we would first go through the listing, and then anyone else who wished to speak would absolutely have that opportunity. However, I would like to have the list in front of me to go by so that I'm not searching around, and then as the spontaneous questions keep coming up, then we're bouncing back and forth throughout the room. What it would allow me to do is to effectively go through the listing as opposed to waving the magic pen to determine who's going to speak. It doesn't stop anyone from speaking as the list would be concluded with, does anybody else have anything to add, or are there any other comments at this time? I don't see it as a method to shut down communication, but more to progress in an orderly fashion. And I hope that answers your question.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any other questions at this time?
I would agree with the changes that you talked about, because I don't see the ordinances. I see the agenda, but I do not see the ordinance. I did not have a chance to see the whole thing. So I think that's not about it. If you do, without the change, I would just have something to put my name down there. You could just ask me for the one.
Fair enough. Thank you for your input. I appreciate it very much. Are there any other questions at this time? Yes, sir.
David Lee, 50 West Forest. I just want to echo Dana and Kendall's comments. It is so small that it seems to be completely different.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to say the background at this point to Dan Johnson on Sunrise. I think it sounds. Procedure and sound, and very Obviously, we all have to be open to have something to add. But for those of us that are kind of newcomers, it lets us see how the process should go.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Are there any other comments at this time? Another hearing?
I would just like to ask if we're two guys down, two people down on vacation. I know for one, that's something that we've had varying responses. This one, this is something we can do when we've got everybody here.
It's entirely possible. I'll leave that up to council.
That somebody wants to understand.
I'll leave that up to council to decide if they wish to address or not address this particular witness.
I'll agree with you. Go ahead, boy.
Very well. Then we will move on to the next agenda item. Consideration and approval of ordinance number 2013-142 of the New York City Code related to recording and making available to the public recording of city council meeting.
I put this on there. You're doing much better as far as getting things on the city's website as far as agenda items and whatnot. And in minutes in particular, but state law only mandates that there be a paperwork. It really says paper. And what I would like to see, and that's why I put in the ordinance, I would like to see a digital recording of the council minutes or the council meetings and then have that on the city's website within 72 hours after the city council meeting. That way, you know, if something like, for example, tonight is a great example. If something's going to be revisited, because we have several items that are, folks can sit there, they can go to the website, they can listen to the meeting, know what, they can be up to speed as far as the discussion. We can still take reports, that's mandated, but I just think it would be a good tool for the citizens, and I've heard a lot of citizens say they would really, really like to have that as a tool.
Are there any questions from council at this time? Questions from citizens at this time? Yes,
sir. I agree 100%. Video recorders are really cheap stores. Really, really cheap. They can make that happen in about 15 seconds.
Thank you. Is there any other comment at this time?
I guess I agree because my health does not allow me to come to the meeting.
None of the hearing will entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion that we approve ordinance number 2013-142, amending the city code, making it available to the public for recording the city council.
Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. And with that, we are adjourned at
The issue or to give a reply. So therefore, I felt I needed to reply. Rather than to attack in public, for you all that needed to be asked was what your plans were. So therefore, you do know our plans. Today I took a drive through Schroeder's, and I saw several homes being built, and it made me very joyous to see those homes, and happy for those families that are on a further along their journey than we are. So our plan is to rebuild and be back in Schroeder's. In the meantime, I have a temporary residence at 3921 Sunrise Drive. I feel very fortunate. I drive in and out of Schroeder's every day.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you.
I'm really troubled that we even have focus on this. I think it's highly inappropriate for council people to be attacked by members of the public with me without going to the first. I think misuse of our time, and all of us here are volunteers, volunteering our time to do this, and I really want us to be as productive as we can. I'm very disappointed that the people who originally heard or made the accusation aren't here to hear the answers, and I may ask them to come back and read this again when we have more people in here, because I think it's something that needs to be said. I want to now ask David, because we did some additional, when you were first on council, we made sure it was legal, checked with the attorney. David, I understand you have something else to report on that?
Yeah, I just, in light of the accusations were made, I touched base with the city attorney again to see if there was any issues or any changes in Texas law and case law in that regard. And he said absolutely none, that he saw no problem whatsoever with Councilman Ramirez holding office, continuing office, that the opportunities for challenge would be through district court if it were to be challenged, because some of them always challenged, you know, anybody could bring a suit for anything. But that he was very comfortable in defending that position, that beyond her intent and declaration that Shore Acres is her residence, that she owns property, she had resided in Shore Acres, was destroyed by a natural disaster, she's maintaining the property, still has a pool on the property, and that there isn't any particular time limit on how quickly one has to get back. Of course, I think it's largely known that half of the council moved outside the city of Shore Acres following Ike as a necessity of the storm. And the mayor lived in Nassau Bay, but continued to consider Shore Acres his residence, as did Robert Plant, who moved to Baytown, you know, and Ramirez's, and ultimately. But we had a lot of people displaced. And the city attorney gives me the assurance he has no issues or concerns about you continuing to hold office.
Thank you. Howard, you have something you want to say?
No, I would like to just add that I have heard this not just from Nancy Snell, but from other members in the community from time to time would raise the issue, and it's very reassuring now to understand the legal background of it to address that answer when it comes up, if it will come up again in the future. So thank you very much for clarifying that for us. That will go a long way in helping us defend that position as well. And I too wish it was brought to light in more of a professional manner. But I certainly do appreciate you bringing this up and discussing it. Even though I'm certain it is a bit challenging, but I thank you for rising to that challenge and being as forthright with us as you possibly can. So thank you.
Okay, item 8.5, consideration act, that's right. I circled 8.4, which was the budget. 8.3, discussion and possible action regarding the expiration of Hurricane Ike temporary housing permit 610091 West Forest, issued under ordinance number 2010-58. Such permit having expired September 30th, 2012. I'm pretty sure that Anita's going to want to speak to this, but we have some very new and very positive information. I think all of it's on the packet. And we have letters from Harris County Recovery. And why don't you tell us the good news?
Anita Wallace, 1009 West 40th Avenue. Harris County Recovery likes the ATM. It's been a long road. And they have, they presented with all the documentation that they have asked for. And I, right now, have chosen a health plan of theirs and a contractor of